to the FTN NBA podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
It is good to be back. Welcome back, everybody, to the FTN NBA podcast presented by, of course, the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here. Zach Graham, Kawhi-Zenberg DFS, back with me. Dude, Zach, this has been a crazy week for me, right? Mm-hmm. I was expecting to, you know, maybe even do two NBA pods this week because we have six teams on bye in the NFL. Probably wasn't going to have as much of a workload for the article because of, you know, all those teams on bye. And I go through my normal process, right? Sunday night, Monday, all day, I'm taking notes of what happened in week eight, and then preparing for my article, which I start Tuesday morning every week and just write all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, so on and so forth. I order lunch Tuesday afternoon. I'm hungry. You know, it's lunchtime.
That'll happen.
Yeah. As one does when they're hungry, they eat. It's like 10 minutes before the food gets to my house, food poisoning hits me like a truck. Came out of nowhere. And I tried to, you know, write.
Before the food gets there?
Dude, out of nowhere, from something I guess I ate over the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm like ready to eat this food 10 minutes before it gets there. I can't even think about eating. You know, and trying to get to the article, trying to sit at my computer and write, and just every 5-10 minutes, just not happening. So I was behind schedule all week, but appreciate everybody kind of understanding and stuff like that. But I didn't want to go a whole week without talking about basketball again, especially with all the stuff that's going on. So how are things, man? What's going on? I also need your opinion on the MLS Cup because I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I just know the Philadelphia Union are playing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the team they're playing good? I'm assuming they're pretty good if they're in the MLS Cup. So
yeah,
do they have a shot? Because the Phillies are looking, it's going to be tough now. They got to win, you know,
two
straight in Houston.
Yeah. I think the Phillies can do it, I think. Yeah. Baseball is a different
The MLS Cup is just one game, right? It's not.
Yeah, it's knockout. It's like NFL.
Do you like that, or do you prefer, like, if they did, like, a three-game series or something?
So, a lot of things here. I'll back up and start with this.
Yeah, do we have...
I hope, Adam, that you did not get sick from whatever you ate off of my dime after beating me in our first board bet of the year.
No, that was
our first lunch bet.
You're good to go. That was well after.
Now I'm excited that you brought up MLS, even though it is 1 week after my favorite team lost out to LAFC, who will be the Union's opponent there. They are the two best teams in the league, two most talented teams in the league, to be sure. You know, Austin beat LAFC twice in the regular season, only team to do that, and then got walloped 3-0 last weekend. The Union, man, are incredible. Historic defense. Their keeper is an MVP candidate, Andre Blake. And then they broke the record this year for most 6-0. For those uneducated, that's 6-0, right? The most six goal differential or 6-point margins in victories.
That's
for a franchise in history, right? So, like, you look at a team like LA Galaxy or DC United, which is one of the original, I believe, 8 teams in the MLS. Philadelphia now has the most 6-point wins in MLS history, and they have all of their 6-point wins from just this season.
That's absurd.
They're insane, and they also won a game 7-0 in the middle there. So, if I had to choose between these two teams, I think it's extremely even. I would side with LAFC. They're at home. They do have depth pieces that they haven't even used. I'm really pointing to Gareth Bale. I don't think they need him.
I know Gareth Bale.
Yeah. I would think that's probably a name, maybe the name out of this game that I could say that non-MLS fans would recognize. And you might be shocked to know he doesn't really play for them.
I actually did know that.
Yeah, he was playing a little bit in the summer, and he's really only there to stay in shape for the World Cup.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens after. But two great teams. I would urge people, if you're not, you know, locked into a college football game on Saturday afternoon, MLS Cup, I believe, is, I think it's 4 Eastern on Saturday afternoon. That's going to be a great game out there. So we've already now talked way too much about MLS, but I appreciate you bringing
I've been to a couple Philadelphia Union games over the past couple of years. Atmosphere is amazing. It's
awesome.
Between the energy in the stadium and then where the stadium is located, it's like right in the water. It's really fun. So
yeah, Subaru Park.
Yeah, it's very fun. But we got to talk about NBA. A lot is going on. We're going to go through some early reactions. Most teams are about, you know, 7-8 games into the season. And it's always an interesting point when you get to this part of the season where it's like, you don't want to go too crazy with overreactions, but the sample size is continuously getting larger and larger. So we're going to go through every team, right? We're going to spend, you know, 5 minutes on one team that's more interesting. Maybe a minute on teams that aren't as interesting.
Yeah.
But just talk about what stands out immediately from this first, you know, 7-8 game stretch for every team. Let's start in the Eastern Conference. At the very top, I don't think it's very surprising. They look like the best team in basketball. It's the undefeated 7-0, I believe, Milwaukee Bucks. Doing it without their second best player in Chris Middleton. Giannis is playing like arguably the best basketball player in the world. Surprise, surprise. I mean, as good as this team is, like Giannis, 34 points, almost 13 rebounds, 5 assists, almost 2 blocks per game. Like, are there any takeaways from this team? Giannis is amazing. We knew this team would be good. I guess the main takeaway is they're doing this without Chris Middleton. Like,
yeah, yeah. that's what I was gonna say. Is just like they don't have. They're, I mean, they're adding an all-star back to this 7-0 team. 11.3. Differential there in terms of their points per game, only giving up 102 per game so far. By far, Adam, the best in the league in that category. I think by like 3 points over the next lowest, which would be the Raptors. And the Spurs certainly helped out the Raptors numbers
sure
the
did.
Other night. I don't think we have too much to talk about from the Bucks at this point. Like, I had them winning the East. They're in first. No surprises there, right? Giannis is a god.
Don't want to talk about who I had winning the East, but it was Philadelphia. We'll talk about them. But yeah, I mean, I'm struggling for every night, though, with like, who's the best player in basketball? Is it Giannis? Maybe, probably. Is it Luka? Maybe, probably. Like, oh my, they are both on an absolute tear to start the season. But yeah, I mean, like, we know that Brook Lopez is playing amazing. Right, he's kind of been the most underrated piece of this team over the past couple of seasons. The rim protection they have between him and Giannis alone. And like, I think I talked about this on one of the NBA streams about like, it might have been with you actually. It's like, oh yeah, Brook Lopez, like he's not going to keep getting four blocks a game, but like that's kind of what he does especially since he's been on Milwaukee. They're getting good minutes out of Grayson Allen, and again, like they're getting good minutes out of George Hill. Wesley Matthews is playing well defensively, like had that huge shot against Philadelphia. They are, you know, they're the favorite, as they probably were for a lot of people, to come out of Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think Giannis, right? Like, I think he's maybe still been the best player in the league, even through the back-to-back Jokic MVPs. Like, it's just different team situations. Like, obviously, the Bucks winning the title a few years ago changes things. Giannis himself winning back-to-back, right? Like, I think it's safe to say that he's still the best player in the world, and has been.
All right, 6-1 Cleveland Cavaliers. You can just hear the smile on my face.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Lost the opener against Toronto in a game where Garland played 12 minutes and then left with the eye injury. Mm-hmm. So could easily be 7-0. And they still almost won that game. Then they've rattled off now 6 straight, including 2 overtime thrilling wins over Boston. That would be a fun 7-game series. I mean, there's a lot to talk about this team, right? And I think you have to start with Donovan Mitchell, who I don't think anybody expected him to be this good. Over 31 points per game, 7 assists. He's been really engaged defensively. The 2 Boston games this season, he's looked really good on defense. And like, I always thought Donovan Mitchell was a better defender than he showed, you know, consistently in Utah. Mm-hmm. And like, between what he's done, Garland comes back his first full game and doesn't miss a beat, like was amazing in that game, 29, 12, and 5. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, like I think Garland has pretty easily cemented himself as a star in this league. But what Cleveland didn't have last year was a guy in the fourth quarter, two and a half minutes left, that can go get them multiple buckets. And that's what Mitchell did in the second Boston game just the other night, where he had, I think, a step back three, a step back deep contested two, and then multiple layups where he, you know, kind of did a hezzy move and just huge buckets from Donovan Mitchell down the stretch. Hopefully everybody's healthy tonight. I mean, Mitchell and Garland, we're recording this on Friday. Mitchell and Garland are questionable. They, you know, even against Detroit, they're not winning if those guys are out. But there's more to this, right? Caris LeVert, he had the huge game, and then he's obviously, you know, he's going to be up and down. But, like, Caris LeVert's also been better defensively. And he's had two games this season, both against Boston, where he's getting these really timely offensive rebounds in the clutch, and it's helping them seal games. And then Dean Wade's played well. He's won that starting job at small forward. Is he going to keep shooting, what, 50-something percent from three? No, of course not. He's shooting 56% from three.
I mean, you know who will, though? Chetty.
Listen, when you're able to have Chetty off the bench, your ceiling is unlimited. But no, like, Dean Wade's giving them good minutes. Isaac Okoro is not as much of a part of the rotation, but he's still good to give you 15 really tough defensive minutes, and then anything he does offensively is a bonus. Kevin Love had a huge game against New York the other night off the bench. Like, he can still get you 20 points on a given night. By the way, Ricky Rubio is coming back. That's going to only add to the depth. And then we, of course, have the elite defensive duo of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Like, coming into the season, I was like, okay, they're going to make the playoffs. They're too talented not to. They would have last year if they didn't have the injuries. Now I'm at the point where it's like, I don't think it's hyperbole. I don't think it's over-exaggeration to say they're probably the second best team in the East. If you want to put Boston ahead of them still, I totally get it. But this is no fluke. Cleveland is a legit contender in the Eastern Conference. And look, the Cavs are 6-1 upon this recording. The Bills are 6-1 upon this recording. Life is good in my house right now.
Yeah, man. And I think you should feel good. I think you should feel great about the Cavs. You know, and you mentioned, like, yeah, it's fine to still think, I guess, if you want, that the Celtics are above the Cavs. But the Celtics beat them twice already, and once without Darius Garland, right? So, like, I think that's the only question I have remaining personally for this Cavs team is, like, does it continue to go so well?
Still very young team, which is part of the concern for me. But, like,
yeah,
you know, those wins against Boston, overtime, thrilling wins where they're, like, both teams made runs, like, those are the types of games that you want to see a young team win. Like, Mobley made huge plays in the clutch. Jared Allen has been, you know, the same as he was last year. Really good. One of the best rim protectors in basketball. I also think Mobley hasn't even scratched the surface yet, which is the other thing about this team that's even more exciting, because, I he's starting to shoot a little bit more from three. It's still only, like, maybe an attempt per game. But, like, that's enough to where it's, he starts hitting a couple of those consistently. Then it's just, like, gets to the point where how do you stop this team? We know they're going to be good defensively. And, like, they're, again, I think they're shooting a little bit over their heads from three, right? Especially Mitchell and Caris LeVert, like, specifically looking at their numbers now. Like, Mitchell's shooting almost 52% off pull-up threes. LeVert's shooting 53% off pull-up threes. Like, good scorers, especially Mitchell, a great scorer. That's probably coming down. Dean Wade's three-point percentage is coming down. But they're also getting, like, really good looks. Like, I'm watching all these games. Like, they're getting amazing looks. And that's only going to continue with one of the best playmaking point guards in the league back and Darius Garland. So, I don't know, man. Like, I'm all in, as I already was, obviously, as a Cavs fan. But, like, I'm at the point now where it's, like, if they lose games to, like, non-Milwaukee, you know, like, non-like top-tier teams, like, if they lose at full strength to teams like, you know, Detroit tonight, like, it's a massive disappointment. Whereas in the past, it's like, yeah, they lost, whatever. Like, they're still young. Like, they should be winning against most teams they play. I'm at that point now.
Yeah, you brought up those shooting stats from three for a couple of guys. Like, it would be crazy too if Caris LeVert was hitting anything but threes, because he's 48% from three and he's 33% from the field. Like, if he can score inside the arc, again, that just like rounds out this piece as, I mean, he's the fourth option on offense, right? I think you would put Evan Mobley ahead of him at this point, even though Caris LeVert's still averaging slightly more field goal attempts. I think a lot of that has to do with Darius Garland being out, and you know, the schedule coming up, I think, gets a little bit tougher. It's really just that.
I think they have a West Coast trip coming up, right?
Yeah, so they go five games straight here at Detroit before they head out to both LA teams, Sacramento and Golden State. And that Golden State game, Adam, starts a 10-game stretch that I think is, this is where we're going to really find out about this team early in the season. At Golden State, and then over the next nine games, they see Minnesota at home. They go to Milwaukee. They host Miami. They host Atlanta. They go to Milwaukee. Yeah, so some tough games in there. Also at Toronto again. So they'll definitely be tested, and certainly by some of those other you know, teams that see themselves as contenders in the East. So yeah, I don't think you could ask for a much better start. And I want to see Mitchell and Garland continue to gel, or do we see that pairing go through a little bit of a rocky period? Because we've seen them for what, a game and a half together, right? Yeah. And it's gone great, but it's just not enough of a sample for me. And you mentioned three overtimes in the first seven games for this team, so great returns early, and for your sake, I hope they continue to do well.
And I like the fact that they've played in three overtime games already and won all three. And yeah, like, they had to make plays down the stretch in a lot of those games. Yeah, man, like, going into Boston without Garland, winning in overtime. Then obviously they were at home with Garland, but like in overtime, but like sustaining, you know, runs that Boston would inevitably make with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum playing amazing. Jason Tatum, we'll talk about Boston. Is Boston next in the standings? No, they're not. We'll go to Toronto, but yeah, the Cavs, that stretch is going to be interesting, right? Like, if they go into Milwaukee and win, let alone what they've already done, like, then people are really going to open their eyes and say, okay, this team is legit. Let's go to Toronto, though. They're 5-3. They beat Cleveland in the opener. Pascal Siakam is playing at an elite level right now. He's doing everything for this team. I believe last time I looked, he's like top 10 in touches per game. Like, he's running the offense. It's not Fred VanVleet. Like, don't get me wrong, VanVleet still has a huge role, but this entire offense runs through Pascal Siakam. The defense is obviously always going to be good. They're getting, like, Gary Trent's playing really well for them right now. I think he's gauging interest from other teams, and I think Toronto's like, yeah, we're good. And like, another thing similar to Cleveland, right? They have a lot of players playing well right now. Pascal Siakam, Gary Trent, OG. And we haven't seen Scottie Barnes really reach his ceiling yet either, right? Here's my question with Toronto is, like, will Scottie Barnes reach his full potential in this role he's in right now? That's my concern, because you have him playing, what, the four? Siakam the five, and like, Scottie Barnes is not, you know, coming out of college and so far in the NBA, he's not somebody that's going to be a spot up shooter. That's not his game. So like, my question is, with Siakam doing so much of the work, handling the ball and everything, like, do we think it's possible that like, Barnes could be better in a different role? Like, obviously he's not going anywhere, but that's the only thing I think I worry about with the ceiling for this team, is if Scottie Barnes isn't fully realizing his potential in the role he's in, how good can they be? But, you know, their starting lineup is one of the best in basketball. Their bench, I had question marks entering the season, but like, it's okay. Like, it's not, you know, an elite bench or anything, but like, they're getting good minutes out of Precious Achiuwa a lot of the time. We know Chris Boucher can pop off for one of those huge games in 22 minutes off the bench. And we know they're just going to have VanVleet and then four other players that are 6'8 and, you know, 6'7, 6'8 or above. So thoughts on Toronto and particularly Scottie Barnes, because again, like Mobley, like, we haven't seen the ceiling yet. Not even remotely close, I don't think.
Yeah. So, maybe it's recency bias, 'cause I just watched this team in person two nights ago.
San Antonio is looking out for you, by the way. Like, they're winning when you're not there, but when they know Zach Graham's in the building, they're not only losing, but they're showing the tank. They're losing by 40 plus.
Hey, I'm hoping that the other night is kick-started.
It's so like tough with a pop team, though. Like...
Yeah, I feel bad for them. But just getting back to Toronto here, like, I know I was watching them against what was probably the worst Spurs starting lineup in their franchise history the other night, and then it got worse with Jeremy Sochan going out with an illness. But, like, this Toronto team is a fucking juggernaut, man. Like, they look like the greatest AAU team ever assembled because they're all, like, clones. The fucking lineup that Nick Nurse ran out there in the first quarter, and mind you, this was not like, hey, there's a minute left, let's go get 2-3 possessions with this lineup. This was like the last 4 minutes of the first quarter. Delano Banton, Pascal Siakam, Kim Birch, Precious Achiuwa, and Chris Boucher.
Van Vliet was out for that game, right?
What's that? Yeah, Fred didn't play. Fred's been out 2 games. Scotty missed one, and I think Scotty also left early in one that where he took a little bit of an injury. But yeah, Scotty Barnes is for real. He's going to be a star. Shooting 52% from the field, 48 from 3 on 3.6 attempts per game.
Also a number that's probably going to drop, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, drop from 48, yeah. But I also think, like, he's just going to be a star in this league for a really long time, man. Like, that was my first time seeing him in person. That was my first time in an NBA arena since COVID. And at the Spurs side of me, it was sad. Like, there was only like maybe 40% of the arena full. I give those Spurs fans credit, man. The like one point of the game where San Antonio made a run and actually like tied it near the end of the first quarter or early second, they gave him a standing O, all, you know, 28 of us that were in the arena. But yeah, man, Scotty Barnes is going to be unreal. I felt so bad for Trey Jones in that game, who got Scotty Barnes' defense and he just swallowed him up. And then
that seems less than ideal for Trey Jones.
Yeah, he did not look like he was having very much fun. but then Siakam triple doubled in like 24 minutes or something like that. He's been on another level to start.
I've been a huge Siakam fan for years now. Right, like you saw the glimpses when he was, you know, the third option when Kawhi was there. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to see from Siakam the past couple of years is there's been a lot of occasions where he's, you know, in isolation or running the offense, and he just doesn't really know what move he's going to do. It's like he was very kind of like hesitant with, like, is he doing a size up? Is he doing a crossover? Like, it was very awkward the way he was dribbling. That's gotten a lot improved this year. He is like I understand it's not like the greatest matchup, but the first Philadelphia game this year, he absolutely destroyed P.J. Tucker. Like, P.J. Mm-hmm. Tucker didn't have a shot in that game because Siakam was lights out from three, and then he was starting to hit him off the dribble. And, like, I don't know, man. Like, at what point do we start talking? Like, I feel like we don't talk about Siakam enough. And what he's done this season has been otherworldly. He's giving them everything right now. We know he's going to play massive minutes. He's averaging 26, 10, and 8 if you just want to round up. Like, I don't know, man. Like, he's not a top 10 player in the league or anything like that. Like, the league is too stacked. But if Pascal Siakam is your best player and you also have an incredible, you know, 2 through 7, you're going to be a top 5 team in the East. And, like, nobody wants to go to Toronto and play games. Nobody.
I mean, if he's playing like this over a full season, I think there's certainly an argument that he's a top 10 player. I mean, he's 26, 10, and 8 right now with a steal and over half a block per game. I mean, I don't think, and let me look if I can, I don't think they've ever given the most improved player award to a player twice. But right now, if the season ended today, I think he would have my vote. And I was looking over the odds. I don't really see him, I don't think, here on the list, certainly not in the top 10.
You would have him as most improved over somebody like Laurie?
Yeah, because Laurie just, all he did was step into a bigger role. That's fair. I don't know how much better he's actually, and again, like,
it is tough to differentiate that too, right? Like, Laurie's, the clear one on a team right now. And last year he was like, some games he was the two or three because Cleveland was injured. But like when Cleveland was healthy, he was like the three at best.
I mean, like you look at Laurie, like he's improved so far. Obviously, by far the most field goal attempts he's seen in his career outside of his second year there in Chicago, where he was more of a focal point of the offense. But he's shooting 51% from the field, but 29 from three on essentially the same volume that he was shooting over the last few years. So I don't think he's been that great. Again, to me, that's the same player with more opportunity because he's on a bad team now. And the fact that Siakam could go from this like third tier star to potentially, again, if he continues this play, which I if I had to bet on, I would say he comes back down to earth a little bit. If he continued this play throughout the full season, he is absolutely in the conversation for first team all league. We'll just have to see it. You know, there's a lot of there's 90% of the season left to play, but I'm kind of surprised that he's not at least near like sniffing the top of the board in terms of odds to win this award. Right now it's Maxey kind of running away with it.
We'll talk about it. That's only going to enhance over the next month or so now.
Yeah. So I guess that's probably enough Toronto, but yeah, I don't think you can say enough about what Siakam's done so far to start the season.
Last thing about Toronto too, we know they're as well coached as any team in basketball. And like, what did they take Philly last year to the playoffs? Six? And Barnes didn't play in a couple games and probably should have been playing when he did with the ankle injury. Yeah,
he was hurt.
So like right now, even if Harden was healthy, like I'm taking Toronto over Philly. So like they're a legit team. I don't think anybody, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Boston, whoever, nobody wants to go to Toronto and play a game. They are so tough. And like the thing I love about them is like they're just so good at scheming up ways. Like that's why I don't love Embiid against him a lot of times. They send this double team at him all the time and then force him into bad turnovers, and then they'll fake the double team and just Embiid is really confused on what they're throwing at him. They do that to a lot of teams. They're just such a well-balanced, well-rounded team.
Mm-hmm. Siakam, by the way, Adam, playing two less minutes so far than he did last season on the most field goal attempts he's ever taken in his career. He's 3 points better in terms of three-point percentage on 4.5 three-point attempts per game. He's 3 points better per game than he was last year. He's over a rebound better per game. He is over 2.5 assists better per game so far. Again, in less time, he's been awesome.
He's easily in my top five. He has been for years of players that don't play for the Cavs that I would get a jersey of. Easily.
Yeah, sure.
Giannis is number one. John Morant's number two. Siakam's probably number three. Absolutely. Always loved him. He's awesome. Atlanta, they're 5-3 right now upon this recording on Friday. We saw Trae Young leave their last game, I believe it was, with an injury. And DeJounte Murray stepped in and did what they would hope DeJounte Murray would do in any game Trae Young was out. He was awesome. You know, I still have a little bit of pause. Like, I don't think they're the fourth best team in the East. Boston's better than them. I think Philadelphia at full strength is probably better than them. Miami is where it gets like, we'll talk about them, but like, do you have any takeaways from Atlanta right now? Like, I'm still also like, they haven't had Bogdanovich, right? He's a huge part of what they're going to do.
Sure.
And DeAndre Hunter, they're expecting still to kind of continue to take a step forward. We know he's really, 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 really good on the defensive end. It's just, will he be consistent on offense? And then when you have a team led by Trey and DeJounte, you're gonna score points. So do you have any thoughts on Atlanta? And like, I'm also, maybe we see them make a move at the deadline where they trade Capella and we see more Okongwu, who I don't think he's a star in the making, but I think he's a really, really emerging center in the league.
I have not seen a single thing from this team that makes me think they are better than I thought they were. And I think if anybody's making the case that they will end up in the top half of that, you know, of the playoff teams and hosting a series in the first round, I think you're just wrong. I think this team is fraudulent so far. Like, they had issues last year, obviously, like underperforming, really underperforming since we saw them take down the Knicks in that, that first round series. Yeah. And then
they're still giving up 115 points per game too.
Yeah, they just haven't beaten anybody. They've beaten everybody they're supposed to. Wins over the Rockets, Magic, Pistons twice, and Knicks. Okay, good. Great.
Did they lose to...
They lost to the Raptors. They lost to the Bucks, which nothing to...
The third loss was a game they shouldn't have lost, right?
Hornets.
That's right.
At home. So, like, they have done absolutely nothing to impress me so far this season. They've won the games they were supposed to outside of the Hornets game. And it's fine, I think, in a six-game sample, right, to slip up against a bad team. But they just haven't beat, like, at Raptors, at Bucks. They got handled in those games, especially against the Raptors, a 30-point loss there. So they just haven't shown me anything to make me think that they are anything but, like, sixth or worse. I'm not surprised if they're a play-in team this year, and we'll find out. They play Milwaukee two more times, so three of those Milwaukee matchups will be out of the way. But you look ahead to November 14th that week. That's a Monday. They go at Milwaukee, then they host Boston on Wednesday, host Toronto on Saturday, and at Cleveland the next Monday. I think we'll find a lot out about these Hawks during that week. You know, and I could see an 0-4 week there for them.
Chicago Bulls and Boston Celtics up next. Boston 4-3. They are two tough, close games away from having six wins. I don't think anybody's worried about them. They're going to get Robert Williams back. Jason Tatum looks like, you know, what he is, which is an elite player in basketball, scoring in a bunch of different ways. I have, like, Boston, like I said, like, if you put Boston over Cleveland and Toronto, I think that's totally reasonable. I like, they're I'm going to be honest, like, they're probably the second best team in the East. You know, if you want to put Cleveland there, I get it. But I have nothing to add on Boston. Tatum's amazing. Jaylen Brown's playing amazing. Robert Williams, we know what he does for this defense when he's back. Brogdon, I think, has played well for them off the bench. I have nothing for Boston. They're going to be fine.
Well, they've had some injury issues too, right? Like, obviously, Time Lord coming into the year, we knew he was going to be out for months. Al Horford has not looked good. You know, I think he's still been okay on the defensive end, but, like, you were hoping to still, like, Al Horford was still fairly productive offensively, especially when he got, or I guess I should say just statistically, like, those counting stats that we care about for DFS, right? Like, he was still really good in that regard over the last two seasons. And to start this season, he's been in a bit of a slump there, just not really producing. Like, he's shooting fine, but, like, six rebounds a game in 31 minutes per game, only 1.7 assists for a guy who has traditionally been a really active distributor on the offensive end. But like you, I'm not worried about this team at all. They'll get healthy. The Brogdon addition, as long as he stays off the injury report, is great for them. And yeah, it's, you know, I would have Cleveland over them right now. But a 2A to a 2B in the East, I think, with Boston. And then you mentioned Chicago as well. Like, they're just a middling team to me. They've shown me nothing that has impressed me that, like, goes above and beyond what we expected from them this season. Like, 18-point
I just don't think they're talented enough.
Yeah, well, and they're not full strength either. Like, they're not going to have Lonzo all year.
They're not going to have Lonzo. Levine's going to miss a lot of games this year. Like, he's going to be on the injury report a lot. He already has been. Mm-hmm. And in the games they're without Levine, like, they're just not – I just don't think they're talented enough to be – like, do they make the playoffs? Probably. Like, I think they're better than Washington. I think they're better than New York.
Certainly play in, right?
Yeah, like, Philly and Miami, when, like, they'll pass Chicago. I don't think anybody would deny that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, they're better than Indiana. They're better than Charlotte. They're better than Brooklyn. They're better than all those teams that are at the bottom right now. So they'll be in contention for the playoffs and everything. But,
they're just like
you. I know you weren't high on this team entering the season, and, like, they're 5-4, which is fine. But
they're Jekyll and Hyde, man. Yeah. Wins at the Heat, home versus the Celtics, at the Nets. Like, those are quality wins. Say what you will about the Nets, we'll talk about them, but, like, I still think that's a fine win on the road. But losses to the Spurs, where they gave up 129 points, lost to the Wizards as well, which I don't think is a great look. So, again, they're up and down. They're a middling team, and I don't think they're a threat in the East.
We have a lot of teams to get to, so, like, I don't really have anything on Washington. Like, I thought they'd be, like, a league average team. They're 4-4 right now.
Yeah.
You know, Beal's been fine. Kuzma's been, like, they've just been fine. They've been an average team. Let's go to Philadelphia, though. There were already concerns to start the year when they were healthy, right? Their defense was terrible. Their transition defense was incredibly bad. Embiid wasn't getting back on defense. Harden was getting back on defense. And now you have Embiid has missed some time with an illness. And now James Harden's out for a month. Tyrese Maxey is incredible. Like, I think I forget what stream I was on. I would give him the max now, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think he's that good. And we're going to just continue to see how good he really is, which is really good with Harden out for the next month. This is where Philadelphia, the D'Anthony Melton trade is going to be huge for them. He's probably going to continue to start. He's obviously not going to make an impact like James Harden, but like Tobias has to step up now. Like James Harden is, you know, he was dribbling the ball a ton, the touches per game, the time possession, everything. I wonder, they're not going to be better without James Harden, but I wonder if we just see, this happens a lot when like a team's top, you know, or second best player is out and everybody else steps their game up. And maybe we see Tobias, you know, get back to scoring like 20 a game. And Embiid's obviously going to be great and Maxey's going to be great. So how worried should we be about Philadelphia? They're 4-5. They've obviously, you know, I think a lot of people were like, okay, they started the season at Boston against Milwaukee and lost. And it was like, okay, they were both, you know, pretty tight games. They're arguably the two best teams in the East. Philadelphia lost, whatever. They're good teams. Then they go to San Antonio and lose, and people are like, that's kind of weird. I'm going to keep an eye on this. And then they haven't looked good, right? It's just been bad transition defense, no ball movement outside of, you know, the occasional, you know, Harden drive and kick. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this team right now and for the next month or so without James Harden?
I think they're going to be fine. I mean, we saw this team essentially without James Harden last year for the first half of the year, and they were great, right? I don't think this team, as currently constituted, can win a title. But again, we're 10% of the way into the season. That rough start that they had, like you mentioned, like losing to the Celtics in Boston and dropping a game at home to the Bucks by two, that's not bad. Right, like they're competing in those games against the other top teams, not just in the East, but the league. And I think they'll be fine without James Harden. Maybe not up at the top of the East again because of how much of like just a war this is going to be throughout the season. But I think they're fine. The biggest issue is Embiid's health. And he had some knee soreness, which is not uncommon, right? We know that he doesn't play a lot of back-to-backs historically.
He also had, the plantar fasciitis in the offseason, so, like, didn't practice, didn't get a lot of run in the preseason or anything.
Yeah, and then was sick.
I don't think their defense, like, I think their defense is legitimately an issue. And they probably are, let's be honest, they might be better defensively over the next month with Harden out. Mm-hmm. Like, D'Anthony Melton's a good defender. He's all over the place in defense. You look at his numbers so far this season. He's currently, fourth in the NBA in deflections per game at 4.1. Like, he's going to help them in that regard. But he's obviously not going to replicate what James Harden does on offense. But, like, their transition defense, it's so bad. You look at the numbers right now. 25 points per game allowed in transition, fourth most in basketball. They're allowing 1.29 points per possession in transition to second most. And a 60% field goal percentage. Like, they are not getting back on defense. They're not communicating. There's too many times where, like, they've been talking to the ref about not getting a call instead of getting back on defense. It's bad. Like, I think their defense is legitimately an issue right now. Tobias can't guard a lot of threes right now. And he's playing
Embiid,
the three.
Embiid being out three games is going to hurt your defensive metrics, right?
But, like, Embiid looked bad on defense. To be fair, when he was playing out, a lot of that might have just been the rust and not playing the preseason stuff. But like, sure. He was not active in pick and roll defense. He was late getting, to switches and late getting to the rim. I don't know. Maybe it's just early. I think Embiid's still an elite defender. Don't get me wrong, but I have some concerns. Like, if we were going back to the earlier pod where I picked him to win the East, wouldn't do that again. but yeah, like they're gonna be, I think, at worst, like what, the fourth seed in the East. Like, they still have Embiid. Tyrese Maxey's amazing. Tobias is still a good number three right now for them. And I just think they are going to be fine. Are they gonna be Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland. I don't know. I don't know if we can say that, but I'm not at a point where like, oh, Philadelphia is in danger of being out of the top six. Like, I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't either. And just, I mean, Tyrese Maxey, man, he's incredible.
I'm serious, year. Man. Give him the max right now. I don't care. Also,
happy birthday, Tyrese Maxey. 22 years old today. On November 4th.
There goes my DFS research for the day.
Yeah. Shooting 52% from the field, 47 from three on nearly seven attempts per game, 75 from the line. He's 86% in his career. I think that number will come up as the season goes on. 24, 3-3 with a steal per game. Those numbers could go even higher without James Harden. Maybe the efficiency goes down, but yeah, he's been awesome. And again, that's the reason he's the favorite in that most improved race. I just think Siakam should be up there as well.
Who else is on that list?
Halliburton, Markkanen, unsurprisingly. And then very, very, very much deserved SGA, who apparently is a top 10 player in the league. I was talking on last night's stream with Eddie about how why I wanted to fade him in the context of that two-game slate. And I was like, you know, if he continues to shoot 60% from the field, then I'm probably going to lose tonight. And then he went out and shot like 70% from the field. So, but yeah, we're jumping all around. Tyrese Maxey, been great. Philly will be fine.
By the way, Tyrese Maxey, almost 93 minutes with James Harden off the floor this season, 35% usage rate. So
yeah,
he will be awesome.
And going forward.
Yeah, he will be awesome. Let's get to the rest of this Eastern Conference. Miami. They're 4-5. I had some concerns about Miami entering the season. Mm-hmm. Their offense, I don't know, man. Like Tyler Hero's been starting for them. Mm-hmm. I don't think he should be starting. He is very, very bad on defense. I think Spoelstra was asked about like his, like he was like kind of asked about it after one of the games, and he was just like pretty much saying like we have to be better. Like he knows Tyler Hero defensively is a problem. Mm-hmm. Bam got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he's been a lot better lately. Friday, like, they might lose today. They're really banged up. I think Butler's already been ruled out. Bam is questionable. Yeah. They're already without a lot of their bench players, like Yurt7. And I also think Kyle Lowry he might be done. And they just don't have any explosiveness on offense, right? It's Hero, and it's, like, Duncan Robinson has been great for them, which has been nice to see. He was not part of the rotation in the second half of last season. But all of a sudden, here in 2022, 2023, he's back to being part of the rotation, and he's shooting incredibly well from three, which is great. But, like, I think in the half court, this team, a lot of times, unless Butler just makes a great play, which he does, or they get, you know, some really strong pick and roll out of Bam, they're going to have issues. So, again, kind of like Philly, like, I don't think they're going to be a team that you look, you know, in a month or so, and they are where they're at now, right? They're the ninth seed in the East. I think they're better than Washington. I think they're better than Chicago, but probably Atlanta too. But I had some concerns coming in. So what are your thoughts on Miami here after this nine game start? Good win in Golden State, but Golden State doesn't beat teams in the Eastern Conference anymore. So I don't even know if that's really that impressive.
I don't think I have much to add. Like, they're kind of Philly light in the sense that I think they're going to be fine. They will improve their standing again. It can take 2 days to jump from like ninth to fourth right now because we're only nine games in. I think six or seven seed is right where they should be and will end up, maybe a five. But yeah, like all the things you said, like we've talked even going back to the days when our buddy Conrad Joseph Metz was on the pod with us, like we were always talking right about Jimmy's contract and how injured he's been. Like, people mention Anthony Davis, obviously talk a lot about his inability to stay on the court. Kawhi Leonard kind of in that same breath. Jimmy Butler needs to also be in that conversation, because if you look over the last few years, I mean, 57 games last year, 52 the year before, 58 the year before that, 65, 59. This guy hasn't played more than 65 games since 2016. And the contract that he's on is like pretty ridiculous if you like consider that that's probably not getting better, right? For a guy who is in what his like 13th year, he's 33. So like he's still got, he's getting paid 37.6 this year, 45 million next year in his age 34 season, 35 years old, give him 49 million, and then a player option the next year, 25-26, 52.4 million for Jimmy Butler, who may not be able to walk at that point. Miami's in trouble going forward. And we didn't even talk about Kyle Lowry and how old, I mean, he's like one of the oldest dudes in the league. They're in trouble. They'll be a middling playoff team. And I still think a team you don't want to see in the first round, because I don't think you're sweeping them out of there.
No. I'm just not afraid of Miami.
No, and you shouldn't be.
Like, Lowry, how old's Lowry? I know he's obviously old, but like 37?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane to me. I didn't think he was that old.
I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, he's been in the league.
Yeah, you forget about it because you don't even remember. You don't even think about like Houston Rockets, Kyle Lowry.
He'll be 37 in March, so I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But I still think.
Yeah, but I also think he's like closer to 38 when you consider he's played so many minutes for Toronto, and like the mileage. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
we already had concerns last year about how much he has left. Like, that's my problem with Miami. They have no. Like, you look at teams in the East around them, right? Milwaukee has a ton of explosiveness on offense with Giannis. Cleveland has Garland and Mitchell, one of the best backcourts in the NBA. Toronto has anybody on that starting five can like Gary Trent can shoot, you know, 6 of 10 from three in any given night, and obviously Siakam and Barnes and everything like that. Even Atlanta, right? Trae Young and DeJounte, they at least have some explosiveness on offense. Boston has Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I don't see that. Like Jimmy Butler is an incredible player. Mid-range, you know, getting to the basket, everything. But like, I'm just not afraid of this team. They're going to be fine. They'll be in playoff contention. They'll be in the playoffs. But
yeah,
I'm not scared of Miami. Let's wrap up the Eastern Conference because we got to get to the West. Yeah. New York, Indiana, Charlotte, Brooklyn, Detroit, Orlando. Anything stand out from those teams? Obviously, Brooklyn's a mess right now. Who knows what's going to happen with them? The only other thing from those teams is like, you're seeing signs from the young teams and the young players, right? Haliburton looks like a star for Indiana, getting so many double-doubles, double-digit assists. He's top five in assists per game. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect Charlotte to be good.
He doesn't come off the court, so.
Yeah. Didn't expect Charlotte to be good. They're struggling right now without LaMelo. I mean, Cade looks great for Detroit. So does Jaden Ivey. They're not ready yet, obviously. By the way, Bogdanovich just got extended. He's playing amazing for them, but they're obviously not there yet. And then Orlando. I mean, nice win against Golden State last night. Jalen Suggs is back. Their backcourt is always hurt, and that's the case again with Cole Anthony and Fultz out, but we've seen Paolo look great. We've seen Franz look really good. And Bol Bol in the starting lineup, like, he's given them a nice little dimension of, oh, I can grab a defensive rebound, bring the ball up, initiate the offense, and still, you know, make plays defensively. Those teams, and for New York, I think Brunson's been a hit. The record hasn't been there. They haven't looked great, but Brunson's clearly, he's so shifty. He's so good at getting to his spot. Like, Jalen Brunson, like, he's honestly one of the best point guards in all basketball getting to his spot, which is, like, right at the elbow, right? He likes to post up a lot. Like, he's actually really a unique player to watch at point guard because he's not, like, the most, he's not a player that's going to run off a bunch of screens and look for, he just gets to his spot off being shifty and being powerful down low. And it's actually really, really fun to watch him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's just not a ton of surprises down in this 10 to 15 range. Like, I think maybe 2-6 for Brooklyn, without the context of what's going on with that franchise. Like, you may have been surprised, if we told you 2-6 a few weeks ago, but
just can't play defense. They just can't play defense.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help when Ben Simmons has now got some knee soreness, right, that's keeping him out multiple games. We know that, obviously, he still hasn't looked great to start the season, although I think he's shown some flashes. And I hope that kid gets back to at least close to what he was, because he was an all-star level player. Obviously, the Kyrie situation, which we don't need to get into, and the Steve Nash, and now Ime Udoka is coming into that situation. Like, I don't know, man. We feel sorry for Stefano right now. Pacers, not good. It's great that Haliburton is looking as good as he is. They still have a trade or maybe
did you
two.
See Miles Turner go on Woj's podcast and pretty much say like, hey, LA, you should probably think about making this deal.
I did not.
But you didn't? Yeah. Like Woj straight up kind of like asked him about it because it's been like a talking point for the NBA for like the last month or two, right? Yeah. The Miles Turner, Buddy Hield trade for Russ and picks. Mm-hmm. First of all, Russ is actually playing really well at the bench. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he straight up just said like, if I'm the Lakers, I probably think about it. And it's just so weird to hear that while he's playing on the Pacers in the season. But yeah, I mean, these are all young teams. We didn't expect to be good in Indiana, Detroit, and Orlando.
Can we get LaMelo Ball back, please? It was supposed to be one to 2 weeks with the ankle turn, which happened a week before the season started. Now we're the end of the first week of November, still no LaMelo. I hate it because I want to watch LaMelo play basketball. I have non-zero amounts in my best ball, on my best ball teams. Play the man. I guarantee you will still lose games because there's nobody else around him.
Who's before we go to the Western Conference, whose future do you like more, Orlando or Detroit?
Orlando, for sure. Yeah. They just have more untapped talent. Like Detroit has Cade and Ivy has been great. And I think Durin has looked really good too, but he's still so young. Ivy's still very young, and they're both young teams, but like Orlando's ceiling to me, talent wise, is just higher. And it's pretty clear. Like I think Detroit's future is still looking a lot brighter than it has the previous few years. But what Paolo has been, and I think a lot of Paolo believers would be saying, "I told you so" to me right now. We haven't seen Chet. Obviously, but Paolo's been great. I think Suggs is going to have a bounce back year. I think he's looked pretty good in the like 2.5 games that he's played because, again, he was out. And Orlando
15 fourth quarter points in that win against Golden State. He was their best player.
Yeah. And Orlando has had so many injuries so far. Yeah. Like Suggs has been out. Cole Anthony has been out. We haven't seen Markel Fultz. Gary Harris is still there. He hasn't played. John Isaac disappeared off the face of the earth. I like Orlando's roster a little bit more going forward than Detroit, but I think both like they're both in better spots than Charlotte.
100%, not even remotely close. All right, let's go to the Western Conference. Things pretty cut and dry is what we expected. Phoenix, Portland, Utah at the top. Golden State and the Clippers are both outside looking in with the Thunder at the 10 seed. This is where we're at when we get to early November NBA. But Phoenix, what was it? The opener against Dallas where they're starting to get blown out and it's like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. But they're 6-1. They come back and win that game. Their only loss was, I believe, Portland.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Look, Chris Paul, still great. Devin Booker is great. And then once again, DeAndre Ayton misses time. And Phoenix gets great minutes from Jock Landell, from Bismack Biyombo.
My guy. Both my guys.
Dude, Jock's been hooping. Mikal Bridges, one of my favorite players in all basketball. Just
snubbed last year.
He's so good. Cam Johnson's been starting. He's been playing well for them. I just Phoenix is what they are. They're really good. They're well coached. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, like what else do you need to say? Like just quietly, still elite. Again, they're only 7 games in, so not even 10%.
There's a trade that we're going to see too, right? They're going to trade Jay Crowder. What they get, we'll see. But like, I do think they could add one more bench piece, especially because Cam Johnson's now starting. Like,
well, and can you get something out of
that's the question?
Dario Saric.
Yeah, they need a bench wing. In my opinion, that's really what they need because Landell's played awesome. Like Jock Landell, like, I don't know, like when you're playing in this offense with Chris Paul, you have to have really, really good awareness and soft hands. And I've seen that, like his hands, he's always ready for the pass and he goes right up and scores. And like, they're not afraid to go to him. Like there's been, I forget what game it was, but I was watching the fourth quarter where I forget what team they were playing, but the defense just was not aware and they couldn't get the switches that they needed. And Jock Landell was going against like a shooting guard multiple possessions in a row. And Chris Paul said, okay, cool, I'm on the floor, Devin Booker's on the floor, but we have Jock Lindell against a 6'4 shooting guard. He's going to throw the ball down in the post. They're obviously well coached. I would like to see them get a bench wing. Obviously, Jay Crowder not being there he was a huge part of what they did last year. So they need to replace that in some capacity. But yeah, I mean, Phoenix is awesome. Portland, though, 5-2. We knew the offense would be good, right? You have Damian Lillard, you have Anthony Simons. The defense, Josh Hart, Jeremy Grant. Always love Jeremy Grant. Now, Dame's obviously out for a little bit, but they've still been doing fine. Simons has been hooping in Damian Lillard's absence. Then Josh, like, I believe the last time I looked, they're the best offensive rebounding team in basketball. That's 90% Josh. I don't want to say 90% because they have Yusuf Nurkic, but like that's Josh Hart. It was kind of interesting when you looked at the trade last year. It's like, oh, you're getting Josh Hart back as a main part of a deal for CJ McCollum, but like Josh Hart's a good player.
Yeah, really good. I'm a huge Josh Hart fan. I just still don't buy it from this team. Good win. I mean, beat the crap out of the Nuggets at home by 25. Obviously, dealt the Suns their only loss. I just don't see it playing out like this for Portland. I think they'll probably be a play-in team here. Again, they're a game and a half above the 11 seed, and they're sitting in the 2 seed right now. So only a 3.4 point differential so far through their 7 games. Dame being out is certainly giving Anthony Simons once again some elevated opportunity. And you've seen guys like Yusuf Nurkic get real minutes. Like Yusuf Nurkic averaging 31 minutes per game. Crazy. and obviously, we know Yusuf like producing very well, 15 points, 12 boards, 3 assists, a steal and a block per game so far. Jeremy Grant has been solid in that role. You mentioned Josh Hart.
I didn't even talk about Shaedon Sharpe yet, who they say, love.
We mentioned Shaedon Sharpe on the last pod, and I think I said like that's their best asset, like outside of course Damian Lillard. I think he's been great. Obviously, some limited time, but extended run here with Dame being out. He's been in the starting lineup. He's 46 from the field. He's 40 from three, albeit on low volume. But you could have certainly seen a much worse start from a guy like Shaedon Sharpe, who did not play basketball last year. And so, yeah, I think the start outside of Damian Lillard's injury, like, I don't think the start could have been any better for Portland. And I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit. But for a team that was in a tough spot, like pretty much guaranteed, I think, to be a middling squad in this Western Conference, I think they've had clearly a very solid start. The young guys that you wanted to see show signs of improvement or just like signs of being successful this early in their career, like Sharp, you've seen that. Through 7 games, and you know, the West is obviously crazy right now, and maybe they have a chance to sneak up into the top 6. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen, but it certainly could be worse for Portland to start the year.
Moving on to the Memphis Grizzlies, they're 5-3. Ja Morant among the league leaders in scoring. Still no, you know, they dealt with some injuries too, obviously, with Dylan Brooks missing the start of the season and Jaren Jackson Jr. obviously hasn't played. You know, Desmond Bane's been awesome lately. He, in my opinion, is the best 3-point shooter in basketball, not named Stephen Curry. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that's a hot take either. I think that's just facts. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, they're good. They're going to be better defensively, you would imagine. Right now, they're giving up almost 120 points per game, but you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. will be back. They're getting good minutes from Santi Aldama, which is good to see. He also hasn't been like shy to shoot the ball when he's open, which is all you can ask for. I still like when they get minutes from Brandon Clark off the bench. I don't know. Anything from Memphis? I know we had the occasion where Ja Morant was out and Tyus Jones comes in and does what Tyus Jones does because, in my opinion, he's the best backup point guard in basketball. I think he had, 23 and 10 assists that game. So the fact that, again, I talk about it a lot, but the fact that it looked like they were going to lose Tyus Jones in the offseason because he was really going to be sought after, and he stayed, and I thought that was massive for them. So, thoughts on Memphis?
I mean, the fact that you're 8 games in, you're 5-3, and there's 5 players that have played, or appeared, I should say, in every game. Tyus Jones, Santi Aldama, Brandon Clark, Steven Adams, David Roddy. So 5-3 with only those 5 guys available to you every night. The Grizzlies are just fine. I expect them to continue to climb in the standings. I expect them to win the Southwest Division. Jaren Jackson Jr., I think, as you mentioned, going to come back. I expect next month in December, which obviously we know his defensive prowess, the offensive upside he boasts, and just how he completes this Memphis team. So nothing too out of the ordinary here. I think they're chugging along, right? It didn't matter for them last year who was in or who was out. They were a good team, and I think that's just going to continue this season.
The 5 seed in the Western Conference, your 5-3 San Antonio Spurs.
I'm going to go jump out the window now.
I mean, they're not making the playoffs. No. It's been fun. They're playing hard. But this is where we get to an 8 game sample and we say, okay, this is a mirage. They've had some impressive wins, right? Kelvin Johnson looks like a really, really, really good player. Same with Devin Vassell. He's been a little bit banged up. And Jakob Poeltl, in case anybody doesn't follow basketball as closely, one of the best, you know, Eddie's very high on Jakob Poeltl, but like you can't find many better rim protecting centers than Jakob Poeltl. We'll see if there's a trade at the deadline. A lot of teams are going to want him, but maybe the Spurs will say he's going to be part of our future because, you know, Jakob Poeltl's good, but you're hoping at the end of the season, Zach, that this team is where Houston is right now and just not winning.
Yeah, man, like I'm fucking pissed that we're like 3.5 games above Houston. Scratch that. 4.5 games above Houston. Luckily, all you got to do is get in that bottom 4, right? All the bottom 4 teams have the same chance at the first pick. And I don't know if you could hear, but my dog, Wembanyama, getting very excited the closer we get to talking about the Spurs. So hopefully that's a good sign.
It's got to be a sign.
For next summer. Like I said earlier, like I saw this team play the other night, no Vassell, no Keldon, and then no Jeremy Sochan for the second half. They are as advertised. They're bad. They really haven't like beat anybody yet, even despite their record. Like they beat Indiana. They beat Minnesota twice, and we'll talk about Minnesota. Like they're disappointing. They beat Philadelphia. Good win there on the road. Beat Chicago at home. But like, the 43-point loss against Toronto the other night, like it's not going to be that bad every night, but this team is giving up the most points per game in the league so far, 121.6. That -5.8 point differential points towards them being down in that bottom 5 or 6 teams so far in the league. And so just the, I think the variance of this early season, the first 8 games has been in, I won't say in their favor, because they really don't want to win.
This reminds me of like when I do like a franchise mode in NBA 2K and I purposely pick a bad team and then simulate it so I can get like the next year's draft class. And the first like 7-8 games of the season, that team's winning when I simulate. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? it's what it reminds me of. But at least you're seeing some signs from like Keldon, right? Like that's fun. I think they are like in love with Jeremy Sochan, which he's like really fun, right? He's got the whole Dennis Rodman vibe. He's really good defensively, really active. Trey Jones stepping up as the clear point guard. Like,
well, especially now.
Yeah, there's some pieces there. But at the end of the day, you obviously hope they lose, and I think most San Antonio fans would agree, and they'll probably be, you know, bottom 3 in the West. You would hope. You would very much hope.
I mean, and man, like, we got to touch on this just for a second, and we can just stick to, like, from a basketball perspective or a franchise perspective, like, the whole Josh Primo thing. If you don't know what we're talking about, Google it. Terrible absolutely awful. Obviously real life, but like from a basketball perspective, like he was such a big part of what they saw this franchise's future becoming. There was a ton of fluff pieces about Josh Primo and how good he looked over the summer, in the preseason, in practice, training camp, etc. And the fact that he is now no longer with the team, won't be with the team, is a huge setback, especially with the draft capital they spent on that kid. Like, I mean, 12th, everybody was like, what the fuck? Like, obviously, like, I was raging about not taking Operin Şengün at that pick. And now, like, also, it's going to get more turbulent for the franchise because what's coming out about Brian Wright, the GM, and, like, who knew, who didn't, what was reported when. Yeah, it's not, like, it, the jokes aside about the tanking and stuff, like, it's not great in San Antonio right now. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out about that, how they deal with it, because, you know, one of the model franchises, not just in the NBA, but in American professional sports over the last, really over their entire tenure, especially from a winning perspective, only missed the playoffs, I think, 7 out of their 50 years, 22 division titles, 5 championships, like, and not certainly in Popovich's tenure, right? No real off the court issues. And now this is a huge one. So we'll see how they navigate it. I'm not looking forward to it regardless.
Denver, 5-3. They're the sixth seed right now. I picked them to win the West. I still think that's perfectly in play. Yeah. You know, Jamal Murray is getting more and more work each game. He was really good last night. Michael Porter Jr., they're just saying, hey, shoot a bunch of threes, play some defense. I think Bruce Brown's been really good for them off the bench. And then they have one of the three best players in basketball. Jokic's usage, I believe, is down this season, which right now it's at, I think, 24%, mm-hmm. which is no problem because, like, he's still doing everything. But, like, I kind of think that's good for them because it means they have more pieces, right? They didn't have Michael Porter Jr. last year. They didn't have Jamal Murray last year. Mm-hmm. So for the usage rate to be down, like, I think that's kind of a good thing for Denver. You know, they had that loss against who they, oh, that was the Portland game, right? Where they got blown out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in and beat Golden State at home. Yeah. Jokic's usage rate down from 32% last year to 24% this year. So, like, mm-hmm. that's expected. I think that's fine. I still think Denver could easily win the Western Conference. I'm still very high on this team. Anything to add from Denver?
Yeah, I don't think there's much to worry about there. Obviously, kind of an up and down, bit of a rocky start there. Losses, you know, blowout loss at the hands of the Jazz to start the season. Blowout loss up there in Portland. And then lost by 11 to the Lakers. Also beat the Lakers by 11 a few nights before. So I think this team is going to be fine. They're still kind of figuring it out, trying to readjust to having Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, and then, like, the new pieces that they acquired in the offseason, right? Your Bruce Browns, et cetera. And they've had some injuries too. Like, Jamal Murray has sat out some. Bones Highland has been out.
Yeah.
Even like Ish Smith. So just kind of like at all levels of the depth chart, they haven't been all available here to start the season. And I think that, you know, the Nuggets will be fine.
They're like, the game they had on Thursday was awesome, right? Like, Jokic had a triple-double, but he didn't have like 30 points or anything. Right. They got a great game from Aaron Gordon, a great game from Jamal Murray. Like, they can easily win with that. Like, if Jokic averages 15 a game, they can still win the West because they actually have talent now around him. So I'm still very high in Denver. Pelicans, 4-3. They've been dealing with some injuries, right? Brandon Ingram has been out with a concussion. He's only played mm-hmm. 3 games. He is probable for Friday's game. So that's good. They'll get him back against Golden State on Friday. Zion's missed a handful of games, but like, there's even games where like they've been shorthanded and they've still been winning some games, which has been really impressive to see. Zion has been awesome since coming back. He's facilitating really well this season too. I've been watching a lot of his highlights where he's just making really smart passes, and you obviously can't stop him at the rim. CJ McCollum, we've seen him since being traded to this team take on that role as a facilitator. He's been fantastic again. And like I said, now they're getting Brandon Ingram back to finally have that big three. They still have Joval, who, if he's your fourth option, your team's pretty damn good. There's still every reason to be excited about this team. And like, they're 4-3 despite dealing with the injuries they've dealt with to start the year. you might even be more excited about them after the start this season, just because of where they at in terms of, like, it's not just the fact that B.I.'s been out for he's only played three games. Zion's missed a few games. Herb Jones has been out. Like, and they're still getting contributions from Trey Murphy, from Marshall, from Alvarado, like they always do. Like, This team is legitimately, like, 12 deep, and I think they are legit. I think they're a really good team. And I don't know if I'm more excited about many teams in the West than I am, and than most people probably should be, than New Orleans. And we'll probably see them as healthy as they've been all year tonight.
Yeah, I think they are kind of the team that I think can threaten the balance of power, so to speak, in the West this year. Like, I think they can finish top three. They have maybe multiple trades they can make with all those draft assets that they have.
Like, is there a franchise in a better shape right now than New Orleans?
I don't think so.
You have your stars, right? You have assets. You have depth. You have defense. You have good coaching with Willie Green, who I think could win Coach of the Year. They are in such great shape, not just for this year, but for anything else they would like to do. Yeah, I'm like, I agree. Like, this team could easily be third in the West by the end of the season.
It's like, which way do you want to go, right? You could ship Brandon Ingram and a pick or two for Kevin Durant. A massive haul, right? Like a Kevin Durant type of player. Or, you know, do you just move the picks? Because, again, they've got a ton of that draft capital still left, not just from the Anthony Davis trade, but Holiday trade. And then, like, you also have these young guys, your Trey Murphys, your Dyson Daniels, who was a lottery pick this past year, that you can also move if you want to for some more established players if you're trying to make a run this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on that they have the brightest future today here, November 4th, 2022, New Orleans Pelicans.
Dallas, they're the 8 seed right now. They're 4-3. Luka,
do we have to say anything else?
Every time I watch, I literally make an effort. If I can't watch a Dallas game, I go on the NBA's YouTube channel and I watch the highlights from every Dallas game because I love watching his post moves. I love watching his, like, the move where he does, where he gets in the post, he pretends to do a fadeaway, and, like, his footwork is just unbelievable. I love the way this team's constructed right now. Like, Christian Wood is giving them amazing minutes off the bench. There might be a point where Christian Wood starts playing 30 minutes a game just because he's so efficient on offense. That pick and roll with Luka and Christian Wood has been great. Dinwiddie's great. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be more consistent at some point. You still have the great 3-and-D presence from Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock. JaVale McGee gives them a little bit more rim protection than they had last season. I like this team a lot. You know, 4-3 is not an incredible start. They're fine. Like, it's still early. They have, what, the first or second best player in the NBA. What's this stretch Luka's on to start the year? Well, he's scored 30-plus in every game.
Dude, I mean, you talk about most improved player. Like, this dude is shooting 51%.
They're not going to give it to Luka, but, I mean, it just shows how insane he is.
Look, 51% from the field, which is a 5% increase on his career average. He can't hit shit from three right now. He's shooting 24% from three, which would be a 9-point departure from his career average. You have to think that comes up. 36.1 points per game through his first seven. That is a 10-point increase on his career average, an 8-point increase over last year. 9 rebounds per game, right in line with his career averages. 9 assists per game, that's an increase of 1 over his career average and a career high. 1.7 steals per game, also a career high. 3.3 turnovers per game, a career low, which is obviously what you want in that category. If you're picking MVP right now for me, it's him. And I guess the only argument is they're 4-3, but again, that's just the small sample size here. The only misstep, I guess you could say blowing that lead to the Suns in the opener, would be a misstep, but the loss to the Thunder, obviously not great, but if taking care of business in every other game, a 2-point loss to the Suns and a 2-point loss to the Pelicans, whatever, that's going to happen. Those are good teams.
Listen to this. So Luka Doncic right now, again, recording this Friday, you know, early Friday morning-ish. He's averaging 7.3 post-ups per game. Only Jokic, Zion, and Embiid are averaging more.
Wow.
But that's not all. Listen to this.
Okay.
He's shooting 68% off post-ups. Embiid's at 46%.
Yeah.
Jovell's at 50%. Giannis is at 54%. Towns is at 44%. Davis is at 53%. Like, he's shooting almost 70% off post-ups. He is unstoppable in the post. He's unstoppable everywhere else. Like you said, the three-point percentage is going to come back up. Yeah, like, unstoppable.
Man. I was just thinking in my head, Adam, like, again, my recency bias of just watching Scottie Barnes in person the other night. I was just thinking, like, when do the Mavericks play the Raptors? Because I want to see that matchup. It's tonight. Raptors-Mavericks. Let's go. That's on my screen tonight.
See if Luka drops 30 again. I like this Dallas team, though. And Christian Wood, we didn't really talk about, but, like, he's been efficient scoring. Yeah, he's been awesome in the pick and roll. So that's been a nice addition for them as well. Minnesota, they're 4-4, struggling a little bit. Are you worried about this fit with the starting five? Because there's been a lot. I don't know if you've been noticing. There's been a lot of, like, press conference quotes from like Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns after games where it's like Edwards is kind of talking about how there's not a lot of room for him to like slash. And is the fit really working with Gobert and Cat? Is Russell the point guard this team needs for this team in with this fit? Like, should we be a little bit like they're 4-4? It's not like they're like, you know, it's not like they're 2-6, but is this a situation where like, the hype was a little bit too high. Maybe the fit isn't as good as we thought it could be.
Yeah. And I said it to start the season. Like, you, Karl Anthony Towns is not a four. And you can't win a title with Rudy Gobert as your center. I'm sorry, Eddie. You just can't. It's not how basketball is won these days. Especially if your all-time elite defensive center literally cannot post up. Like, he has no offensive game outside of just rolling to the rim. And it doesn't work. And you're pushing Cat out and you're clogging up the lane. Like, we talked about this, I'm pretty sure, on the preseason pod. Like, I was concerned about the lanes being open and the opportunities being there for Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, and Karl Anthony Towns because you've got Gobert there clogging up the middle. And that's played out. This team is bad, man. They're four wins. Lakers, Spurs, Thunder. Look, all games you should win. Lost to the Suns, lost to the Spurs twice, and the Jazz. Three of those four are horrendous losses for a team that supposedly has these four guys that, like, at one point or another in their careers, or still are, all-star caliber. Like, when D'Angelo Russell's your fourth best player in your starting lineup, you're not supposed to lose to the Spurs fucking twice. It's incredible. And I don't see it getting better unless they make a move. Maybe I'm overreacting here. I don't think they're good.
Any thoughts on the Thunder? They're 4-4. SGA has been amazing. Giddey's been out of the lineup. He's been back the last two games, I believe. The thing I want to see from this team, like, obviously they're a team of the future, right? We're going to see Chet next year and whatever picks they add. Mm-hmm. But I get it, because with the way their team's constructed, you kind of want to see everybody outside of the three solidified starters in Giddey, Dort, and SGA. But like, they're running like a 12-man rotation right now, and it changes not just on a game basis, but like a half by half basis.
Yeah.
Where like, guys will start the first half and come off the bench the second half. I want to see 25 minutes consistently a game from Poku. That's just me. But the Thunder, like, they're another team that they're 4-4 now. They'll probably be like right above like San Antonio and Houston probably, but we know it's a team of the future. Anything to add on OKC before we get to the really interesting part with the two LA teams in Golden State?
Oh yeah, just my championship pick hanging out down there in like the 11th seed.
many championship picks.
Yeah, SGA off the charts this year. We'll see how that keeps up. I don't think he's shooting 55% from the floor this year. Obviously, my thoughts are well publicized on this podcast.
You know who could use SGA right now?
Any team?
The team below the Thunder in the standings.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. And we'll see, man. Like, he, I don't think it's off the table that they deal him. I don't think they should. I think they should pay the man, but
I'm not trading him.
I mean, it's just like, does he fit the timeline?
The timeline. That's, he was asked about that too, and he said, like, it was like a couple weeks ago, he's kind of asked about that same sort of question. I think he said something along the lines of like, we're gonna be really good. I'm kind of here for this. So it sounds like he's still invested in what they're building.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, I don't think it's out of the question that they would trade him. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible. I wouldn't do it, but yeah, like, we know they're going to be fun, right? Like, I think Lu Dort is awesome, obviously. They have, you know, players that are playing well for them off the bench, but we know this is a team we're hoping to see Chet next year with this the length they have on the court when Chet's there. With Chet and Poku and SGA and and everything like that, so let's go ahead.
I said pay Shea. They already did.
Yeah, so I was gonna say
mistake there. But so don't trade him.
Yeah,
don't trade him.
All right, let's start with. Let's just go to the LA teams.
Go Lakers first because there's not much to talk about there.
Yeah, they started off 0-5. They've now won two straight. Russell Westbrook's coming off the bench and he's played well off the bench. I think it's obviously a more natural fit for him just to run the second unit. This is still 3-10, an awful team. You know, if Matt Ryan doesn't hit that crazy three-pointer to send the game to overtime, you know, they're 1-6.
If Dyson Daniels makes a fucking free throw.
At two. Their ceiling is like the A seed. I think we can agree, right? Like, that's their ceiling. And that's literally going to be from LeBron being the second best player of all time and Anthony Davis hopefully being healthy. That's what it's going to take. There's still the avenue of the Miles Turner, Buddy Hield trade, which would without a doubt make this a better roster. But I just like, I think I love Russ though. I don't care. I think him coming off the bench is great for this team. I think it's what they need. But 3-10, they're still awful. Just Lonnie Walker had a great game against the Pelicans. Cool. It's just like I said, like, would you agree that their absolute ceiling is the A seed?
Yeah, they suck. Like, dude, can you name for me the two players without looking, the two players on this roster that are shooting better than 29% from three?
I want to say Matt Ryan, but I don't even know if that's accurate.
Matt Ryan is one of them.
I'll go Matt Ryan and is it Lonnie? I don't think it's Lonnie.
It's the other cold white boy. It's Austin Reeves.
Okay.
But like, if you're playing Matt Ryan and Austin Reeves real minutes, you suck. So that's all I have to say about the Lakers. The roster, terribly constructed. LeBron, yeah. Old, over the hill. I love LeBron.
Hey,
but
hey.
Like, hey, it's, yo, it's the truth.
Watch it.
And Anthony
my favorite
Davis.
Basketball player of all time.
Hey, yeah, and they
well,
all
until Garland wins a title, then that'll be cool. Just kidding. LeBron will always be my favorite player. Yeah, like they're a bad roster. Let's
talk about the actually interesting Los Angeles.
Yeah, let's get to this. 4-4. Kawhi's not playing. Paul George has had one good game, let's be honest. One good game. And look, you've been high on this team. I've been high on this team. I think you should be theoretically high on this team. But similar to like Minnesota, it's like they have a lot of really good wings and a lot of really talented players, but it hasn't meshed. We haven't seen them play. We've hardly seen Kawhi and Paul George together. And Kawhi is now like, I'm a little concerned with Kawhi. And we know this team's not winning shit if Kawhi doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
This is a concern. Like, we should legitimately be concerned about this team, right?
Yeah, dude, something happened to Kawhi or with Kawhi because there was no indication of this leading up to the season. He was fully cleared. The two preseason games he appeared in, he started, he played 16 minutes in the first half in one, then sat out, played 17 minutes in the first half of the other game. Then sat out, which is totally normal for one of the best players in the NBA to just play a couple first halves in the preseason. Then he's coming off the fucking bench to start the year? What? What the reasoning that was given by Ty Lue was like, we want him to close the game. Newsflash, Ty Lue, you don't have to bring somebody off the bench to limit their minutes. So what the fuck? Why was he not playing if he's going to come off the bench for the first few weeks to start the season? Why was he not playing with the second unit in preseason? They are not telling.
He also didn't even check into that. Like, he came off the bench in the opener. He didn't check in until like the 4 minute mark of the second quarter.
Adam, so they're not telling us everything. He either got hurt again or something else happened, like non-basketball wise, where he's not happy. But something is fucking off. We've seen it before with San Antonio. I'm not saying it's going to end up like that, but something is off here. They're not telling us the full story.
I hope Kawhi's healthy and I hope he gets back, because I need people to remember he's still one of the best players in the world. It's just a little concerning right now. Like, we know, like, they weren't a lock to make the finals if they were fully healthy and everything and fully constructed, but like, they top to bottom had one of the best, you know, rosters in basketball. But like, I don't, it's a little bit worrisome right now for sure. I think I chose them to win the to go to the finals as well. Mm-hmm. That seems like a, I know it's still 8 games, but that seems like a dream right now for them. I mean,
ultimately, this team does not care about the regular season. If they are all healthy going into the playoffs, we will still have, I will still have the same expectation of them. We've just not seen anything close to that yet. And
the problem with that too is, like, I understand that they're not, you know, valuing the regular season as much as other teams, but they got to get there. Like, the teams in front of them, Minnesota, Dallas, New Orleans aren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, Golden State's going to jump up. We know they're not going to be where they're at now. Mm-hmm. So now, okay, you also, on the other end of the spectrum, San Antonio is dropping. Utah is most likely dropping. But they're like, if Kawhi's not playing a lot in the regular season, they are not anywhere close to a lock to get into the playoffs. So I would like to see them get in. I would like to see Kawhi healthy because he's amazing. But yeah, I mean, the fact that he came off the bench to start the first game and then didn't check in till like the 4 minute mark of the second quarter and now is not playing. Yeah. Like, that's obviously worrisome. Let's close out with Golden State. 3-6. They had a home or an Eastern Conference stretch where they lost to Charlotte. They lost to Detroit. They lost to Orlando. I think they lost to another team too.
Miami,
thank you. My problem with this team is simple. When Steph Curry is off the floor, this team sucks. Their numbers with Curry off the floor, I'm looking at our splits tool on FTN Daily. With Curry off the floor, they're -7. Their true shooting percentage drops. Their points per game with Curry, 118. With Curry off the floor, 101. They're +22 points per 100 possessions with Curry on the floor. Like, they flat out suck when he's off the floor. Their defense has been bad this year. James Wiseman, who they've been starting to get more minutes, he looks lost on defense. They can't play him. And we're starting to see that because Kevon Looney's playing more. Kevon Looney, you look at the advanced metrics, he's been like their second best player right now. Mm-hmm. And I love Kevon Looney. I absolutely love Kevon Looney. But if he's playing as your second best player, that means Jordan Poole's struggling. Klay Thompson's been struggling a little bit. This is one of those situations where your eyebrows raised, you're on notice, but you're not freaking out. This team gets all the benefit of the doubt in the world. They have Curry. Draymond's still an incredible player. They're going to be good. But I guess the question is, like, are you worried, or is this just like, oh, my eyebrows raised? But like, dropping those games in the Eastern Conference, we don't see that from Golden State. Like, every team loses here and there for sure, but like, 4 in a row to Miami, Charlotte, Detroit, and Orlando? That's three of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. It's three of the worst teams in the league.
Are we really shocked that a team that had their first ballot Hall of Fame power forward punch out their sixth man of the year candidate the week before the season started and nothing happened to them? Are we really surprised that those guys are going through some struggles? Like, I think I'm exaggerating here, obviously.
Kuminga's been bad.
Well, that four
not that he's a huge part of the rotation, but
he hasn't played.
Right, but he's like he's been bad. Like Moot, I like what I've seen from Moses Moody, and DiVincenzo's been out, which like again, these aren't huge pieces of their team, but for me, it's just like the fact that nobody's been exceptional other than Curry and Kevon Looney. Like their numbers with those players off the floor, they're awful. Again, I'm not freaking out. They're going to be fine. But I'm at least a little bit kind of, I don't even want to say worried. I'm just like, I'm kind of like puzzled. I guess that's the best way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, they need more out of those young guys. They need more out of Moses Moody. They need to be able to play Jonathan Kuminga. And Dante DiVincenzo's been out, and I think he's going to help.
Yeah.
You know, that he's not the piece that's gonna like get this team over the so-called hump, but like he's a really good piece, I think, to have off the bench on any good team. Yeah, I mean, I think you said it perfectly. Like they need more from pretty much everybody else outside of Steph, and Looney has been great. But I'm just not surprised that they're struggling. Again, that four game stretch where really I think Miami is the only like acceptable loss there. It's just for me, it's early with this team. Championship hangover, knockout punch hangover. Like
this were any other team, probably would be like actually worried, right?
Yeah, but, for sure.
Like they get the benefit of the doubt. They've been unstoppable for years. The one thing I am worried about is Clay. Like, not that we're going to see vintage Clay again, most likely, but if you really look at it since he came back last year, Clay's been pretty bad. He's been kind of bad. Yeah. And
that's pretty good last night.
Yeah. Like, and I wrote about it too, because Orlando coming into that game, they were bottom five in points per game, field goal percentage, all the stuff to players off screens. So I literally said, if there was a game for Clay to, you know, kind of snap out of it, it'd be this one. And then Curry obviously went off. I think they need Jordan Poole to be really good for them to not be a contender, because they're obviously a contender, but to kind of make up for what they're not getting offensively from Draymond and the inconsistencies of Clay. Mm-hmm. But again, Golden State, they'll be right there at the end of it, most likely, barring any sort of unforeseen circumstance. And I did want to shout out Kevon Looney because, like, again, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does in this team. He fits. Mm-hmm. He knows the scheme and the system so well. He's honestly one of the best passing centers in the league that nobody talks about. And we saw what, like, he was our third best player last year in the playoffs. It's not even a question. It's literally not even a question. It was Curry, Wiggins, and Kevon Looney. So we're seeing him play more minutes with James Wiseman minutes coming down because he can't. He just can't on defense right now. He's lost.
Yeah.
So, any closing thoughts on Houston and Sacramento? There was some hype about Sacramento to an extent entering the season. Fox has played well. Sabonis is coming off a really nice game, but we don't expect them to really contend or anything. And Houston obviously is not contending for a long time. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, they're both terrible. Houston tanking correctly here. It's frustrating. I guess the only thing I would say on these two teams, Kings, I got nothing. It's Sacramento. Houston, glad to see Şengün finally in the starting lineup there. Fucking ridiculous to be bringing him off the bench. Made me question Steven Silas, who I honestly have had a lot of respect for in his early tenure, and that just didn't make any sense to me. So maybe there was more behind the scenes going on there with that than they actually revealed. But yeah, you play Alperen Şengün. I can't believe we have to say that.
Maybe they're afraid to play him because they're trying to tank.
Yeah, you might be right.
He's too damn good. But yeah, like I with Sacramento, I like what I've seen from De'Aaron Fox. Really, since they traded for Sabonis last year, he's been phenomenal. It hasn't just been the start this season, but since they acquired Sabonis, he's been really good. They're just, you know, they're not there yet, but you know, at least they look more promising than they have in the past. So,
sure.
An hour and a half of hoops talk. That's what we do when we only do one pod a week, because I'm constantly throwing up. But we make up for it with an hour and a half of NBA pods. Early reactions from the start of the season. Zach, what's going on for content wise coming up for, you know, all the FTN NBA fans. The we're also, again, talked about it pre-show, but I am locked in on the the listener league, man. Off to an okay start. And I'm making waiver moves. Picked up the Anthony Melton. Like, I'm on top of it.
Yeah, also, what I mentioned to you, like, up like 7-1-1 right now against Whammy. Obviously, three slates still to go on this week, but it's been a great start, I think, in terms of the competition here in the listener league. Right now, Tommy leading the way at 14-4. And then I think Anthony, who obviously got hit with that Anthony got hit with the Anthony Gill auto draft, so that put him behind the eight ball a little bit there. And then HB Cards, who admitted it was his first go round in a season long league. Both those guys bringing up the rear right now, but it's so early. We're kind of all still packed in there and being competitive. So it's been fun. We'll start to get some of our listener league participants on the pod, maybe as soon as next week. So yeah, that's going on. Obviously DFS streams, ranks, etc. every day. NFL obviously still going strong across all the FTN platforms. Later this afternoon, I'm on NFL Live, I believe, Alex and Kyle with me. Then I'm on the NBA stream with Eddie. So if
massive slate,
you like hearing my voice, Friday, November 4th, a good day to be around FTN, I guess. So there you go.
Awesome. We'll be back next week, hopefully with hopefully with some of these teams that have gotten off the slow starts, you know, getting back on track. Again, it's relatively early, but it's not early enough to where we can't start looking at stuff and some data and saying some of this applies. So it's kind of always the balance. So appreciate everybody listening. Subscribe, rate, review, all that great stuff. This has been the FTN NBA podcast. For Zach, I'm Adam. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APFeifer24, at JMeds34, and at KowaisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.